Hello and welcome to another episode of Django Chat, a weekly podcast on the Django web framework. This week, we're going to be talking about middleware. My name is Will Vincent, and I'm joined as always by Carlton Gibson. Hi, Carlton.
Hello, Will.
And this talk, this chat is based on the talk you just gave at DjangoCon US, which will be up shortly, and we'll link to that in the show notes, all about middleware. And in many ways, middleware is sort of the secret sauce of Django, but I think it's poorly understood. So let's maybe dive in and talk about what it is and why it's important to Django.
Yeah, I mean, it's a source of a lot of the power. I think when you say understood, misunderstood, I think people are a bit scared of it. Because when do we...
Yeah, it does. It sounds scary.
What do we see? We've got in our settings and we know there's this middleware setting with this list of import paths in it, which are all a bit arcane and mysterious. And sometimes we have to insert a middleware in there and it's like, it'll make sure it's at the very top or make sure it's at the very bottom or make sure it's in there, but just after this one or before that one. And it's like, what?
Right. And why does the order matter? It's definitely very scary. Yeah. And it's automatically generated with the start project command.
Yeah.
I would say for years, I was definitely in that boat of, I see it there. I don't want to touch it. I hold my breath when I have to put in, you know, white noise or something. And yet it is not just some random setting. It is, you could argue, kind of what Django in a core level.
Well, like, so request.user.
So let's start with
So request.user.
Yeah.
So you access the user, right? The request, the Django HTTP request object, that doesn't have a user attribute. So when you're writing a unit test and factory request equals factory get, and you create a request object, and then you go request.user, and it goes, no, attribute error. You haven't got, that's because you didn't, you have to manually, in the test, you have to manually set a user attribute. But that's what Django's auth middleware does for you. It provides the user stuff.
Yeah, so let's back up a sec. Let's tee up what it is, and then we can get into this, the onion. Yeah, so just as a definition, so the middleware is a callable, so that's anything that you can,
that
takes a request and a response, like a view. And so that's something that basically, just to like make this super simple in Python, that's anything within parentheses, so you can pass in parameters off in a function. The technical definition, which I don't think is that helpful actually, is from the docs, is a framework of hooks into Django's request response processing, a light low-level plugin system for globally altering Django's input.
That's a middleware. Now, a middleware is a callable that takes a request and it returns a response. It's exactly the same as a view, except a teeny bit different.
Right. So if you think of what is the process of going to a web page? Because again, for beginners or people who haven't thought about this for a while. So you go to a URL that takes you to middleware wrapped around a view, which connects you with a model and a template, and then you get something back. So that's request response. And yeah, middleware is wrapped around the view, so you can access things before it gets to the view or after it comes to the view, which we'll get to. And I think also maybe talking about WSGI is helpful here, right? Which in your talk, nice job on this. Do you want to explain why WSGI?
So WSGI
is why it matters?
Python's standard web service gateway interface. It's like the standard for web servers to talk to application servers. So Apache's got Mod WSGI Express, Garnicorn everybody uses, or UWSGI are the servers that you'd put behind something like Nginx. A WSGI application is a callable that takes a WSGI environment, which is like information about the request, like, you know, the method and the request path and the query string and all these things. And
then it imports the settings.py file, loads all the middleware, resolves the URL to the view, and then returns the request object back. That's kind of what a WSGI handler does.
So
it's another degree of abstraction on top of
it. Yeah, and it takes this WSGI environment, the information about the request, and this thing called start response, which isn't really that interesting. And then, but it takes this WSGI environment and it processes that and it returns a response. So any function, any callable, so that can be a class with a call or a function that takes a WSGI environment and returns a response, which is just an iterable containing the response body, really. That's a WSGI application. So every Django application is a WSGI. It has a WSGI handler, which is the WSGI application. But Flask, that's also WSGI, and so are all the other Python frameworks out there.
Right. And again, this is just, you know, why you need this is because the application, so Django, and then the web server that is serving it are separate things. And WSGI is a way that abstracts any Python-based environment, so you don't have to deal with again, whether you're using Unicorn or UWhiskey. So
yeah, I think when we had Russell Keith McGee on, he was talking about the pre-Whiskey days. I think it was him anyway.
Yeah, well, and we've mentioned had, that. Go ahead.
Well, the point is you had to deploy your web framework with your particular server, right? Whereas now you can choose any server and mix it with any web framework, and it'll all work. And that's been the case for a long time now.
And it comes at the cost, though, of unless you have a discrete reason to dive into all this, you just see it there and you don't really need to understand it. The cool thing about Django's history, where Whiskey, it came before Whiskey, is that it plugs into Whiskey. So now with ASGI, which we've talked about, the new async stuff, Django is, it's easier for Django to switch to async things than, for example, Flask in its current iterations is Whiskey. And there's some projects to work on that, but it's going to be a little bit easier for Django, I think, than Flask.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Like when you look in your Django project, there's this whiskey.py file, and in there, there's just this callable.
Never look at it.
Yeah, don't go in there. Like, there's nothing in it. Well, you know, you might sometimes, you know, you might, when have I edited that? I've edited that when...
For Heroku, you have to go in there and change a line and hold your breath.
But I was working with a third party dependency. So I've done this in the past. Working with a third party dependency that was broken, like the release version was broken. So what I've had to do is import a fork of that into my, you know, next to my project, say on the server, and then I've just adjusted the Python path in the Whiskey file to make sure that it was all set up right to import the overridden version of my dependency rather than the broken one from PyPI.
Right. And Python paths, that's also scary. You know, that's always
But unless you're doing something a bit, don't go in the Whiskey. But in there, there's just this little get Whiskey application function. And all that is a wrapper which instantiates this thing called Whiskey handler. And that, it's just two lines. And it's like, well, why is it there? It's there because just in case we need to swap something out. And so 10 years later or whatever, along comes ASCII, which is the asynchronous version of Whiskey. And it's very easy because there's this kind of indirection layer for Andrew to switch that in. And so you know, that's proven prescient after all this time.
Yeah, it's nice. It's sort of like technical debt that helps rather than hurts for a change.
Well, it's like,
or not even
you know,
debt,
it's just
but,
two
you know,
lines. Why don't we just inline that, it? Like, you know.
It's nice to see a decision that turns out to be quite helpful rather than harmful, which is often the focus is on things that are harmful rather than helpful.
Yeah. Inside your Whiskey application, right? Your Whiskey application gets a Whiskey environment. It's like a request, but it's a Python dictionary with all these weird keys in it that you don't know anything about. And what Django does, the first thing Django does is convert that into an HTTP request, a Django HTTP request that we know and love that's got, you know, the access to the GET, access to the POST, the META. The META is the original Whiskey dictionary. So if you get access request.meta, that's basically what your Whiskey application gets. Django inserts a couple more keys in there, but it's essentially what the Whiskey server gave you in its raw form. But what else does we get headers, we're able to
read the body. Yeah, I mean, the important thing is we want to get to middleware, but that's what Whiskey is anyway, and it's related, yeah.
And then that, once we've got that request, we pass it to your view, right? Your view, to your standard Django view takes a request in and returns a response. And all middleware do is they do exactly the same thing, but they sit outside your view. So they wrap it. And you can have them wrapped one inside the other. And that's in your settings file. That list from top to bottom is sort of from outside to in as they're wrapping each other.
Well, yeah. And there is, I think,
What they call the middleware.
Yeah. And there's five different types of middleware. There's request middleware. So that's processing a request before it comes to the URL in view section. There's a view middleware. Where you know the view and the URL parameters. There's exception middleware, where what do you do if there's an exception? There's a template response middleware. I know I'm going down the list here, response middleware. Anyways, there's a couple, you know, five built-in types. The more interesting thing is what Django gives us, which if you peek at the peek at the middleware setting, you see, you know, there's a list, security middleware, session middleware. And the interesting thing is what those are and why the order matters. Carlton?
Why does order matter? Right. So they're called. You've got to right. So the way to imagine it is that the request comes in and it dives all the way through all of these middleware in order, and then it finally gets to your view, And then as the response gets returned back, it goes all the way back out. Now, any of these going down can interrupt and return a response early, and it never gets to the one below. So, for instance, CSRF, that cross-site request forgery, right, where you didn't have the little token in your post data, so it says it, CSRF invalid. Well, that is actually executed just before your view. So it uses a hook called process view, which, so it's kind of like, I'm going to let all the other middleware do their thing, and then just before the view gets executed, I'm going to check that the CSRF was in place. And if it wasn't, I'm going to return a response, an error response there and then. And your view never even gets to see the request because it's exited early. But like, for instance, authentication, request.user we were talking about just before, right? Mm-hmm. That requires the session, because if the session's not in place, then it would break. So session middleware has to be before authentication middleware, otherwise it breaks. So this is where the ordering comes in. And in the docs, there's a whole section in the middleware reference about which middlewares need to go before what or where or after.
Right. And this, I mean, the authentication middleware, this adds the built-in user object so that you know that who the user is, if someone's logged in, if they're not. So it makes sense, if you think about it enough, that you need to throw that on before it hits the actual view, before you can't search on user if there's no user added in. So middleware really is the secret sauce of Django. This is where a lot of Django's power, I mean, there's the ORM, but this is kind of where a lot of the magic happens.
Well, you get all like the security headers that you get set, the allowed host checking, the, I don't know.
And again, because it's because before it hits the view, you're checking all these things to make sure, is this what we want it to do? Does it have the user? Does it have sessions? I mean, maybe, so common middleware is an interesting one. The name sort of, that's the one actually, when I just look at it, I go, I don't know which one that is, because the other ones all kind of say what they are.
Yeah, because like security is obvious, session's obvious, CSRF is obvious. What's in the
next
common
frame options? Yeah.
Well, what is
and
it?
The honest like, answer is maybe we probably need to go.
Let's
look
go
that
look
up.
At the dogs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So this is, let's just. So everyone's listening. So the Django fellow and I teach this, and we're like,
okay. So what's in common middleware, right? Without looking. Oh, to be honest, I can't remember.
We can edit it to sound better.
No, let's leave it live. Like,
Are you on? So what are we doing? We're going to the Django docs, where we go all the time. Okay. And it just says that it adds some, I like this. It adds a few conveniences for perfectionists. So.
Right. Well, no, I'm looking in the source code, so I'm having a look what's going on. Right,
common. You had to one-up me like that. Okay.
Well,
nice.
You know. So.
These are the two places.
Right. So in common middleware, we can forbid access to disallowed user agents. So if you don't like people who use Chrome, you can disallow the Chrome user agent in. You wouldn't do
right.
That.
You can append slash and prepend. Yeah. Or you can perform rewrites in the URL.
Append slashes. So to redirect, so rewrite if the append slash isn't at the end. What else?
So it is just a grab bag of other stuff we need, but maybe isn't worthy of its own middleware on its own. So
yeah, right. And well, this
we'll call
also,
it common.
Well, but also this is where you can start to think, well, do I need this? If you like, for your base project, it's fine. But like, if you're really trying to squeeze every last ounce, you can start tripping some of these off. You may not need common middleware. So you could get rid of it. You might not need security middleware, right? Well, okay. So what's that going to check that you were serving HTTPS? You might not want that check because you might know that you're serving HTTPS. You might have Nginx configured to force that.
The tricky thing is,
I wouldn't recommend this unless you really know what you're doing, but going through the middleware and starting to strip them out. And then if you need that high throughput API endpoint, you can run that in a separate service, which has a trimmed down middleware, which is grease lightning,
Well, and this is, we've done some interviews with some large Django sites at scale that we're going to release soon. I mean, this brings up fighting the framework, because the danger is you can go and do these things, but then you need to really be sure you need to do it, because this is really the internals of Django. So maybe there's a tiny performance benefit, but this isn't, this is pretty core Django, which I always get a little uneasy to touch, because there's updates to Django all the time, and you don't really want to eject from it unless you really, really have to, in which case maybe you would do, as you said, set up a separate server for the one particular thing.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I just add a degree of caution. Like, it's fun to play with it, but don't jump off the rails of Django unless you really, really have to.
Right, but if you're not using sessions, if you're not using authentication, if you're not using the messages middleware, need a speedy endpoint, you can trim those layers out. And
yeah,
at that point, you know, I mean, that's
and that would be an interesting experiment to do, you know, and probably you would find it's faster.
But
for general, you know,
right, for general use, you want all this stuff, right? As soon as you want the sessions or users or, you know, the messages frame, what does the messages framework do? That enables you to say a user saves a form, right, or saves an object. That enables you to set a message on the ROM request, and they get redirected to a fresh page, right? And then it comes up with a little message at the top saying, "Hey, you successfully created, you know, your new blog post," like it does in the admin if you create a record. You kind of want that. That's great. So don't get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, Django is eminently customizable, but as I tell people, be sure you know what you're doing. And I do want to get to, so this all leads in, so your talk was about using Django as a micro framework, and I will link to it. I thought it was great. You sort of showed that Django gets a bad rap for being bloated and not being as concise as Flask or Express or some of these things. But in fact, and you gave an example, which we'll link to, I tossed up a repo yesterday of a, how many lines is that? 12 line, hello Django file, where using especially the middleware and the Whiskey Handler, you can, actually not using the middleware, using the Whiskey Handler, you can treat Django just as lightweight as any of these other things, because of course you would never use Flask, just the 7-line version. That's just a demo.
The hello world from any of these micro framework sites, they all look great. But Django doesn't do that. Django has the whole start project, and here's the views file, and here's the templates over here. And it's all a bit like, wow, this is big and bulky. It's not bulky at all. What the point of my talk was to walk everybody through down to the base handler, which is where we fundamentally
the Whiskey
take
handler.
In the web.
That's really the point. Yeah.
We take in the web requests, we process it in our view, and we send back the response with like the web problem. This is what all the frameworks are doing. And that core base handler class is like 100 and something odd lines, 150 lines long, 160 lines long. It's not, and you know, and that includes all the exception handling and all the ability to load the middleware chain and, you know, all these things that it does that is the core framework, but it's in 160 lines. There's no room for it to be clunky. There's no room for it to be slow. There's no room for it to be, you know, it's lightweight. It's the same as any other web framework out there, because we're all doing the same thing. We're all taking requests, we turn them to responses. And that core bit is as fast as anything you want.
Yeah, and I'm just looking up the actual location of that. Is that the whiskey.org? Or where is the, because I want to link in the show notes to the
Actual file. So if you go into Django core handlers base, the base handler in the base handler class in there is, well, what? It's 120 lines long.
Okay, yeah, based up.
140 lines long. It's 140 lines long, right?
Django core handlers base.py?
Django core handlers base.py, yeah. And the class,
isn't
the base
it
handler.
Oh, the handler class, right. The overall file is 166. But the class itself.
Like what else have we got going on down there? We've got, a couple of utility functions.
I'm going to put this in the show notes so folks can take a look and see it's not as scary as it may sound.
Yeah, I mean, and the idea of my talk was just to like break open the box a little bit and point people to these core handlers and say, look, there's not actually that much going on.
Right, and once you see how the handler works, then you see why this Hello Django example is so concise, and that a lot of the, a lot of the additional things Django gives you is it does give you all this middleware, and it pre-builds out a structure that makes more sense for a larger site, not just one with a couple routes, which is quite nice, because otherwise we'd all be arguing about the proper way to structure our Django apps, which is what happens in Flask and Express. And instead, we have the opposite issue of when you get really, really big and people say, oh, Django doesn't do exactly what I want. It's like, well, that's because once you get to that size, everything is custom anyways, and where do you put the view, the logic? You know, those are good problems to have. No one can solve all those for you.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But
that was actually at Django Boston. I keep bringing this up. There was a discussion before my talk, before I gave a preview of my DjangoCon talk at Django Boston, and the question was, what do you least like about Django? And I think the top one was saying it doesn't scale from 0 to 100 all the way. But you know, nothing could possibly do that. I think it gets you a lot of the way there. And then, you know, at scale, applications are different. You know, there's no way to do that. So I tried not to get too defensive about it. But, you know, it's like, yeah, I'd love if somebody smarter than me figured out all my problems I'm going to have in advance. But, you know, maybe my application has lumpy traffic. You know, how does that traffic look? That's going to change how I structure things. You know, so, you know, I think it takes you pretty far up to the point where when you start complaining about, you know, the view logic in Django, it's like, good. Now you've got good problems.
Right, but this is my point about you can customize the middleware stack.
If you want to, you can. Like,
when you sort of see coming up, you know, over a course of months as your web application grows, you see that you're coming up to performance problems. You know, it's not like something that happens overnight. It's something that you realize, okay, we can scale up another worker and okay, well, fine, but actually we're going to have to kind of address this. And then you start looking into the structure and you're like, well, actually we could just rip this bit out and we could serve these busy endpoints from a different application instance over here, which is optimized for those endpoints. You can do all of these kind of things. No, they're not beginner things. But they are all available, and all you really got to do is dig down and understand how the framework's put together. And the point of the talk was it's only 160, 200 lines to understand. It's not that complex.
Right. And I think the thing is, we've talked with folks about the popularity of Flask, which has many great attributes, but one of the pressures is that you inevitably want something custom. And I think, if I might put words in your mouth, the point of your talk was you can do that with Django, and this is how. You don't have to spin up something else in Express or Flask or whatever. You can do it just with Django.
I would, you know, there might be some really niche embedded thing where Flask isn't going to help me. I'm going to need Rust or Go, or, you know, I'm going to need something really hyper performant. But if I'm still using Python, there's no reason at all why I would ever stop using Django.
Right. And again, I mean, you know, we were talking with David Hennemeyer Hansen. I mean, I agree with his comment that it's never really the language's fault that you're fighting. It's always the algorithm. And then, okay, maybe if you're Google, the language matters.
No,
or
right.
know, in these tiny cases, rewrite something in C or Rust. But, you know,
These 0.001% cases, a million companies. There's 10 companies that need to do this series. You know, they talk about, oh, that's not web scale. What are you talking about? There are 3 companies in the world that are web scale.
right. Okay, well, I think that hits the points of what we want to talk about middleware. So, you know, don't just gloss over it when you see it in the settings.py file. Take a look at Carlton's talk. Take a look at this repo just to see how you can use Django as a micro framework. And it's just really interesting. I mean, the more you start to understand Django, the more you see that it's not that complicated. And at the same time, it gives you the power to monkey around with the internals if you want to. It also helps you appreciate that maybe I just want to kind of let it be unless I really, 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 really have to. But I could if I wanted to.
Yeah, like, you know, there might be some apps where you don't want the admin in. You don't want this, you don't want that. But, you know, there's some, not many.
It depends, right? That's our tagline.
Yeah, it depends. Yay! Welcome to China Chat.
Yeah, we got it in.
But good.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening. As always, episodes are on djangochat.com. We have an email newsletter if you prefer to get emails when episodes are released. And we're at ChatDjango on Twitter. We'll see you all next time.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you.